And 1 John chapter 5 verse 6. 1 John chapter 5 verse 6. I want to share on the three indomitable forces. Three indomitable forces. Now, when we hear the word indomitable, I know that a noodle brand in Nigeria has actually taken over that word, but it does not mean a noodle, all right? It's actually an English word. And what does it really mean? It means difficult or impossible to defeat or subdue. It means difficult. Indomitable means difficult or impossible to defeat. It's not possible to defeat it or subdue it. So in other words, it means unconquerable, that which can never be conquered. That which cannot be conquered, that which cannot be defeated. So when I say indomitable forces, it means that they cannot be defeated. They cannot be conquered. No forces can conquer it. Those of you who are joining online, I also welcome you because the blessing of the Lord is upon you. So take away distraction. It's not a time to cook and be eating. Let have reverence for wherever you are. Then the power of the Lord will be present the more for you. Amen, somebody. Amen. So now I am now sharing about forces that God has given us in His word. Things that God has given us to engage in order to continuously live a victorious life. If these forces are unconquerable, then that means if you engage them, you will live consistently a victorious life. You will live consistently from glory to glory. You yourself will become unconquerable. Is somebody with me? Daniel, is that you? Or is your brother? Is you. You are welcome. Nice to see your face. Hallelujah. God has not caused us to lose or to be a loser. God has not called us to a life of defeat. He has not called us to a life of disgrace and shame. Every child of God, we have been called to live a victorious life. Tell your neighbor you have been called to a victorious life. Now, there are three major indomitable forces that God has given us to engage in His word in order for us to continuously live this victorious life. Number one, you then find them. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. He said, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Then verse 7 then says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And there are three that bear witness in earth or on the earth." Look at those three. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. There are three that bear witness for victory on earth. The Spirit, the Word, and the blood. Said these three agree in one. You can call them the formula for victory. The formula for victory. He said in heaven there are three that bear witness in heaven. Three things that cannot be conquered in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. But they have also given us three things with which we can engage in effective warfare. Engage in a victorious living. What the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost has given us to engage their power on this earth. Said these three, they cannot be conquered. Said is the Spirit, the Word, and the blood. You see, every food has its recipe. If the recipe is not complete, the outcome will be different. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the recipe is not complete, that is why those who cook do not joke with the recipe. That's why you even have what they call recipe book. They will tell you, put one pinch of salt, soak the fish in water for 1 hour, or boil the meat for this and so. After you boil the meat, do this and that. If you don't follow that thing, you can't have the same outcome. Unless you used to be like me. I remember my bachelor life, one of the favorite soup I like cooking is egusi soup. Every bachelor should know how to cook egusi soup, at least for a beginning. Because why did I like egusi soup? Because as a bachelor who has little money, all I need to do, put the water, put the dry ground pepper, pour the egusi, pour the oil, put the crayfish, cover it. 20 minutes later, everything is done. Everything is done. Stress-free cooking. Sometimes I just buy the bitter leaf, the one or the butter leaf they have in the market. Just put it from the beginning. I like to just put it. I don't have time for all those ones. Just put it. Cover it. Miraculously, the oil will locate the pepper. The pepper will locate the egusi. The egusi will locate the fish. The fish will locate the bitter leaf. 20 minutes later, I've poured it. Then put my water, put the garri. Easy life. That is, no food is faster than that for a bachelor. So I like egusi like that. Until I started eating my wife's own. I said, but your own is different from my own. How come? Then I realized that no matter what you do, even knowing how to do the thing will determine how you get the outcome. The outcome you get. So the same thing today. How do you engage these forces for your victory? Let's look at indomitable number one, the word. When the Bible says there are three that beareth witness on the earth, it said, the spirit, the water, and the blood. The water there represents the word. The water represents the word. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26 says, that it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. So the word of God is God's water. It has a cleansing power. The word of God has a washing power. It's God's water. Amen. Now, John chapter 1 verse 1 then says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. There's the same was with God in the beginning. Then verse 3 then went on to say, by him were all things made, and nothing was made that was not made by him. But I love verse 4. Say, in him was life. And the life was what? So there is light inside the word. Whenever we engage the word of God, we are engaging the light of God. That no wonder he then went on in verse 5 to say, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness could not conquer, could not overpower it. In other words, darkness realized that this is an indomitable force. Darkness could not dominate it. It's indomitable. Darkness could not overpower it. So we must learn to engage the light of the word of God. The word of God is a light. You turn it on in situation, and the Bible said that the indomitable force has shown up. You know, as children, we all like our superheroes. Yours may be Superman. Mine may be Batman. When I was growing on, I have Voltron, Defender of the Universe, you know. And there are new superheroes for every ages. But one thing is common with all of them. When they show up, problem is solved. When they show up, problem is solved. But do you realize that when you read one of the things that even Marvel film realize is that there are some situations that some superheroes cannot solve. So they now began to future all of them together. Don't you realize that the time they future, maybe Batman, Superman, there's Iron Man, that what they can solve became bigger. They solve more problems than only Batman. Or they used to do them solo. But they realized that in this life, no superhero can solve all the problem single-handedly. They work together as a team, and they now solve more problems. It's the same thing. Now, most of us are children of God. We are familiar with the indomitable power of the word, and that is where the full stop is. But you realize that now there are some situations in our life that even when you say, thus saith the Lord, it's like it's not going. It's not that the word of God
cannot solve all problems, but I will tell you why. You need more than the word. But the first basis I want you to know that you, if even at that, you must be very conversant and versatile in the word. When you don't have roots in the word, you dry up in life. Christians whose roots are not deep in the word, they dry up in life. Because there is nothing to draw from in times of trials and temptation. There is nothing to draw from when the winds of life blows. The Bible says there are two people. One built his house on the sand and the other one built it on the rock. He said the one that hears the word and does it is the one that built on the rock. But you realize that both of them, the same thing happened. The rain came, the flood came, and the wind beat upon the house. But one fell and the other stood still. Why? Because the other one knew how to engage the word for profitability and for effective warfare. I pray for you in the second half of the year that the word of God will produce great results in your life. I pray for you today that the word of the God will not just be present in your life, but will begin to shine and produce wonderful results in every situation in the name of Jesus. The second indomitable is the spirit. Is the spirit. The spirit. The spirit. Now, amazingly, the spirit of God is one that we all know how to engage, but we don't know how to engage or release the power of the spirit enough. For the average Christian, anytime they want to engage the Spirit of God, they engage the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues. But speaking in tongues is not the only avenue to engage the power of the Spirit. It's just one of the avenues we engage the power of the Spirit. In this room, we are enjoying electricity. But for every electronic device to be able to work, it needs the flow of electric current into it. Now, the electric current cannot just walk into that device without electric wires. That is why they are called conductors. So, even as we are here, whether you like it or not, the truth of the matter is that if we are connected to the national grid, there is something that transfers the power, a cable, that transferred the power from the national grid to the transformers and kept stepping it down until you and I can plug our devices into that power source. And now the electronic device is working, but in literally what is powering it is far away from the national grid. Without those conductors that is transmitting the power from the pole or from the grid in front of your house to that electronic device, you can have light at the grid, but yet you are living in darkness because you don't know how to use the conductor. You have not been connected to that power. There are conductors of the Spirit. There are things that are used to engage the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, we use tongues. But the other that we have not been able to use effectively as children of God is the oil, the anointing oil. In fact, the anointing oil is one of the first written conductors of the Spirit in the Word of God. All believers began to speak in tongues later on in the New Testament. But there is something that moved from the Old Testament to the New Testament for the conductor of the Spirit is the oil. You see, the oil, the believers in the Old Testament did not have access to the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. But they had access to one thing called the oil. And anytime they want to invite this presence of the Spirit into the life of a man or upon a thing, they anoint it. Once the anointing rests upon it, it means it has now been set aside to enjoy the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. 1 Samuel 16 verse 13 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil. Watch it now. God had found David. But he wants to enter into David. He wants to consecrate David. The Spirit could not move, could not cross over into the life of David until the conductor is engaged. So he said, He took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. You know what? Anyone that the oil is upon, that is the one that the Spirit goes to. Where the oil is present, the Spirit is invited there. So out of all his brethren, how did the Spirit know that this is the one that had been chosen? He said, when he anointed him, then the Spirit knows that now, this one is qualified for me to reside. Look at how the Bible explains in Psalm 89 verse 20. Say, I have found David, my servant. Psalm 89 verse 20. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I what? Anointed him. The oil became the hand of the Spirit upon his life. I pray for you in this anointing service today, that as the oil of the Spirit comes upon you, the hand of the Lord will be more evident in your life. Because the Bible says that with whom my hand shall be established. Verse 21 says, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. When the oil came upon him, he said, my hand, the established hand of God, has rested upon him. I pray for you that as the oil comes upon you today, may the hand of the Lord be established upon your life in this second half of the year, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So the anointing is a representation, symbol, carrier of the Spirit of God. That's why you should never trivialize it. Anytime you want something, you want the presence of God to rest upon a thing, anoint it. Of course, it can be abused. It can be abused. Because I've seen those who are doing wrong thing, all right? And they want to use the anointing to justify it. Remember that the same rod that raised the dead boy in the hand of Elisha could do nothing in the hand of Gehazi. The same rod. It does not mean that the life is not in it, but it means that the carrier has faults. The reason why most of the time today now, people anoint everything and there is nothing happening is because like Gehazi, their hands are not clean. Their hands are not clean. So you carry the rod of the Spirit. You want it to produce supernatural results, but the Spirit is not also in you. Gehazi could raise no dead body because even though the rod still has the power, his hands are not clean. His hands are not clean. Who shall ascend to the east of the Lord? Who shall dwell in his holy place? He that hath a clean hands. You have stolen something. Now you are not anointing God for God to bless what you have stolen. No, how does that work? You know that the salary that you are earning is not your salary. I am asking God that, oh, God bless the salary. The oil is a conductor of the Spirit. I pray today that your testimony will be better than this anointing service. Now, let's move to the third one, the blood. The third indomitable, unconquerable force, the blood. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 11. As for thee, Zechariah 9 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent for thy prisoners. By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth what? Thy what? Prisoners. Out of the pit wherein there is no water. Out of the pit wherein is no water. Say, by the blood of the covenant, the blood has a releasing power. By the blood of the covenant, I have sent you forth. You know what? The blood did not just bring him out of the pit. The blood also sent him forth out of that situation. Whatever has held you captive, deliverance is guaranteed by the power of the blood of the covenant. And I say today, anyone that has been held captive by any situation, been held captive by death, you have been held captive by barrenness, today by the blood of the covenant, I declare your freedom is guaranteed. Amen. You know, I the testimony of that sister, I said, I remember last week when I was praying during the worship time, I said, there's somebody having abdominal pain, place your right hand there. She believed it straight and placed her hand there. Said, instantly a healing manifested. Instantly, the same God is here today, and I'm saying to you that whatever has held you captive today.
today, your freedom is guaranteed. In the name of Jesus. There are five powers I want to show for that is in the blood. Five powers that are in the blood. Now, I use the word blood and not just the blood of Jesus, because normally the blood of human being should run parallel with what the blood of Jesus can do, because they are both blood. So whatever the physical blood can do, then the blood of Jesus can do the same and do much more. So because we call it the blood of Jesus, it cannot have an attribute that is different from what other blood of human being can have. So we must be able to run it. We see that if human being blood can do this or have this, then the blood of Jesus can do the same thing. That is why I want to show you five powers that are in the blood. Then when we see the power that are in the blood, then we know that greater of such power is in the blood of Jesus. Because the third force that most believers don't engage enough is the power of the blood. Let me tell you what the blood does in the first place. You see, when we talk about the word of God, the promises of God, they are given to us for victory. But you see, for the promise of God to be effective most time, it needs the seal of the blood. I can make a promise with you or to you. I can tell you some things. But you know that if I breach it and you take me to court, that document may be invalidated because it does not have my signature on it. That is why you see in our world, no matter what is written, they will tell you every serious document must have a signature. In fact, they will even tell you some of them put your seal if you are a corporate organization. Why? Because when anything comes up tomorrow, for it to be binding between you and the other person, there must by all means be a seal or a signature attached to it. The blood of Jesus is the seal of God's word. It is not enough to just say, Father, it is written. You must learn to seal the promises of God for your life by the blood of Jesus. You must learn to claim those promises by the blood of Jesus. What most of us as children of God have not been doing is to apply the blood on the word. Most of us don't do that. So yes, it is written. But there are times you have to say, by the blood of Jesus, I claim this promise. By the blood of Jesus, this word of God is producing results in my life. You see, when you say that with an understanding of what you are saying, you understand the fact that, devil, I am telling you that this is a binding agreement between me and God. By all means, this word will produce results in my life. In fact, when you begin to say that, you can clap if you want to clap. Hallelujah. When you begin to apply the blood on the word, you have moved from the literal sense of that situation to engaging the devil in the courtroom of God. In the throne of, you have engaged the justice system of God. Maybe you are believing God for something. You know, you've claimed the promises, you've prayed, you fast, and you are not seeing it. You take the case to the courtroom of God. Father, I am claiming this promise by the blood. It is written that this is my story, that I seal it by the blood. This covenant is sealed by the blood. Therefore, you cannot deny me. When you apply the blood on the word, you are demanding justice over that situation. You are demanding justice. And he's a just God. He's a faithful God. Is somebody with me? So let's quickly look at what is in the blood. Number one, oxygen is in the blood. Oxygen is in the blood. The human blood is liquid oxygen. It's an oxygenated blood. There are two major components in the human blood. Two major cells. The white blood cells and the red blood cells. The human blood contains a more abundance of the red blood cells because, you see, that is the one that carries oxygen from our lungs and to the rest of our body to give life. Any organ of the body that lacks the red blood cell begins to die because life cannot flow into it. So you can have someone who is alive, all right, but a part of the body, it's not working. Why? Because Life cannot flow into that part. So everything, the man is still talking. But it's, you know, the other time, I saw the story of a man who had an accident. And you know, something just hit him and everything was normal. But all of a sudden, he realized that he could not have sensation again in his leg. And before you know it, his leg was turning black. When they went, they said that the vein that carries blood to the leg, that part of the leg, was cut off. So his leg had to be amputated. Why? Life could not reach that part of the leg. Now, if human being has oxygenated blood, what about the blood of Jesus? Does he have life? Yes. Let's look at it. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the power of, he said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. But look at what Jesus said. John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He knows what he was saying. He said, you have no life in you. The life of God that produced wonderful results cannot manifest unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. This was one of the hardest sermons that Jesus preached, because they knew what he was saying. They knew that to drink blood is a mark of covenant. You see, when people want to take covenant also, you see them exchange their blood. In other words, my life is not your life. Your life is my life. If either of them cannot kill the other. In fact, in the Old Testament, when the blood is exchanged by the mouth, it means if anybody attacks you, they are attacking me. So anybody that attacks you, I must rise to your defense. If I'm under attack, you must rise to my defense. Either of us can never fight one another. We are brothers for life. They understood the mark of that covenant. That's why they do the covenant of my blood. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. There is no covenant relationship with me. He said, if, verse 54, whoso eat my flesh and drink my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said, I am committed, even after he's dead, to raise him up. Life, 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 life. Most Christians we've lost a sense of why we take communion. So we trivialize it. It's a meal that communicates life. Because you see, whatever you eat goes into your bloodstream. Goes straight into your bloodstream. If you take communion with that understanding, anything that wants to kill you must give way. Because John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the enemy, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said there's one solution. I am come that they might have what? Life. How does that life flow to us? Through his blood. 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 You realize all of a sudden that, you know, some things are missing. Or things are not the way it's supposed to be. You release life into that situation. You realize that your finances now, you are struggling. You know, especially in this era where they are chasing everybody around with debt. You open your mobile phone, you see, borrow money. You go to PanPay, borrow money. In fact, the worst of them is that PanPay. I'm sorry, I'm not discussing anybody. Because somebody introduced me to it. I have my card. But whenever you want to recharge, then it changes to Flexi. In other words, borrow by fire, by force. I stop using it. I close it and say, is it by force? It will automatically remove your card and place it there. You have to now manually. Debt made easy. You will never be bound by debt in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yes. And if you are under it, before August, you are coming out. Yeah. I said you are coming out. Yeah. I said you are coming out. Yeah. I said you are coming out. Yeah. It's the spirit of bondage. It's the spirit of bondage. They know that when you are under their care, your phone is no longer your phone. They can harass you. They can bombard you. They can publish your picture. They can do all sorts of rubbish with it. Just because they see you as their slave now. But in the name of Jesus, life of death is not your portion anymore. Yes. Yes. I'm telling you. The second thing that is in the blood is waste remover. Waste remover. Red blood cells give oxygen. But there's another one called the white blood cells. It's called the defender of the body, the fighter of disease and infection. with the white blood cells in our body, you will see that it begins to identify strangers that are there. And every day, the duty of the white blood cell is to fight those things. Then it also removes carbon dioxide from our system. Waste product. Transfer it to the lungs or to the kidney. Eliminate it from those channels. What does waste removing mean? It means things that are not supposed to be there. There are things that are not permitted to be present in the life of a believer. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto us. He redeemed. The, anywhere you see the word redeemed is a first century word for payment for slavery. It's a type, just like we have the word ransom today. Ransom, which is payment they made for those who have been kidnapped or something. Whenever they want, when a slave is about to be paid for or bought, you will say, I'm going redeeming. When you say I'm redeeming, it means that I am going to pay for that slave. That's what the word redeem is used for. So throughout the Bible, the word redeem often is associated, is the word that they use for slaves. And you know, slave trade and slavery was so common then. Now, Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. That means anything that is not a redemptive benefit is a curse. Stop celebrating it. I was passing by one hospital recently, very beautiful, very gigantic hospital. And my wife said, no matter the nice way the hospital may be looking, beside pregnancy, no hospital bed deserves to be slept upon. Even if you want to take rest, don't go and take it in the hospital. Some hospital, you go back more sick than you came. That is why those of you who work in the medical system, you must learn to apply the blood of Jesus over your life. Because there are spirits there who are just killing people and can jump into anybody. Sometimes you enter some hospital ward, you could sense the stench of death present in the place. Stop celebrating sickness. You know, when I was coming for this meeting, the Lord told me that those who had flu, today, before this service is over, it dries up in the name of Jesus. Every form of flu in this service dries up in the name of Jesus. Redeem yourself through the blood. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10 says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy, Revelation 5, 9, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kingdom and tongue. You have been redeemed. He has paid for your health. The woman who we normally engage to do our decoration in church, one time I saw a big mark on her cheek. So I asked her, ma, what is the meaning of this mark? Say, pastor, you want to know? So one day I slept and I woke up, like play. I saw something that looked like pimples. So within weeks, it began to grow. And it was becoming a big lump on her cheek. Then she began to consult the doctors, take all forms of antibiotics and everything. Her lepo shataya. Anyone that is under any strong antibiotic in this place, when I mention it, the Lord clicked on my spirit. Whatever is requiring strong antibiotics, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, you are delivered now. Receive the ministration of the blood of Jesus. Receive the ministration of the blood of Jesus. Receive the ministration of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that healing. In Jesus' name. Then she said, then she will go to the hospital when the thing became big. They will even be injecting the, when it's like the one she was taking was not enough, they have to start injecting the lump directly. They were injecting the thing directly with different injections, and the thing was just becoming bigger and bigger. So finally they said they had to cut it off. So they cut it off. Say, Pastor, within 2 days or so after they cut it off, two grew up from the same place. Said, two came out. It was one before. Two came out. See, let me tell you something. Never take anything incurable for granted. Never take anything that is recurrent for granted. Anything that you see that is often recurrent is demonic. Most incurable diseases are demonic. Be very stubborn with them. Because every disease has one final goal: to kill. Diseases are weapons of, they are killer agents, let me put it that way. Assassins, cutting people's lives short. Whatever disease has been sent to cut your life short, every disease that is sent to shorten your days, by the blood of Jesus, your deliverance has come today. Amen. By this communion table, I said, your deliverance has come today. Amen. So the woman said, when she saw the two, even the medical people could not do anything about it. Then she realized that there is power in the blood. He has redeemed us. I am no longer my own. I belong to the one who have redeemed me. You see, there are times that the problem is that you are too much involved in your problem. You are not allowing Jesus to step in. You are taking charge as though you are your own. So we have told God to step aside. There are situations that you have to employ the redemptive power. I say, I am not my own. Because do you realize that when children see that the thing is bigger than them, where did they run to? Where did they run to? Ah, you have an owner. You have an owner. Jesus Christ is his name. And when the push comes to shove, you show the devil the evidence of the payment, which is his blood. I'm not my own. I've been paid. I've been bought, purchased, redeemed by the blood. So she said, she decided to engage the power of the blood. So every morning when she wake up, she would lay her hands there and say, I curse this affliction by the blood. By the blood. By the blood of Jesus, I curse you. You will not prosper in my body. Let me tell you one thing that never fails. Release curse upon affliction every day by the blood of Jesus. Curse it! Curse it! Everything that God wants to give you can be encapsulated into one word, blessing. Everything that the devil wants to give can be encapsulated in one word, curse. So learn to curse affliction by the blood. It will die. So she will lay her hands on it every day. So you will not prosper in my body. I curse you by the blood. So I curse the pastor. As I began to curse it by the blood, I saw that the thing began to shrink, began to shrink, began to shrink. So one day I slept and I saw it fell on my bed. It fell. That was the end of that affliction. That was the, you see, this the first one requires surgery. This one was the surgical power of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has surgical power. It can reach into your womb. It can reach into your kidney. It can reach into every part. As long as there is blood there, his power can reach there. As long as there is blood there, his power can reach there. Never trivialize the power that is in the blood. Curse it by the blood. Are you there with me? The third power. Because of time, I can't go on the five. Maybe by God's grace, next Sunday during the prayer time. You know, next Sunday is prayer service. It's a pure prayer service. So by God's grace, we may take the remaining two. But let me quickly go into the third one that is there. Nutrient supply. The blood of human being carries nutrients for the body. It transports nutrients. So when we eat, the food is digested. The blood then goes to work to carry all the nutrients, glucose, protein, everything that is there. It knows the name. It sorts it out and transports it. So the body becomes so rich because the blood is working. You see growth takes place because the blood is working. You see a man looking very healthy because everything he eats, there is something that is making him prosper. In other words, there is prosperity to the blood. Now, you see, I want to share with you in this final point that there is a need for you to engage the blood of Jesus concerning your prosperity. I share with the Kingdom Advancement Partners, those of you who are Kingdom Advancement Partners, you were not in the meeting yesterday, get the message. That you see, money in the hand of a believer, the devil sees it as a weapon. Anytime a believer is prospering, the devil sees it as though he's amassing more weapon to kill him. Because you see, when a believer prospers, the kingdom of God advances. So the devil will do anything to make a believer poor. He does everything to make a believer poor. Because money in the hand of a believer is a spiritual weapon. It's a spiritual weapon. It's a spiritual weapon. So that is why the devil will always attack the finances of most Christians. He attacks it. He attacks. If there is anything the devil likes attacking, is whatever it is that he can use to take that money away from you, he will send it. He's always after our money. Because he knows that when there is no money in the hand of the believer, the work of God in his hands cannot move forward the way it ought to move. Is somebody with me? Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now, as his blood began to show forth, Revelation 5, 12, as his blood began to show forth, Revelation 5, 12, are you there? As his blood was shed, there were seven blessings that the blood released. The slain lamb released seven blessings. So worthy is the lamb, not the one that was walking, but the one that his blood is being shed, that was slain. So to receive power, blessing number one. Then the other one is riches. I'm going to stop there. God's will is for you to be rich. You know, when I went for my retreat this time around, one of the things that the Lord said to me is that in this second half is going to make people rich. It's going to bless people with finances. And he instructed me to take time to teach it. So I told you that all the Tuesday from Upper Tuesday, I'm going to just spend time teaching kingdom principles of financial prosperity. Because he instructed me to do it. So he will bless his people. Some of you will start buying land in this second half of the year. Some of you will dedicate your cars in this second half of the year. You are coming. That is why I gave every debt year August deadline. You shall be debt free. Yes. Believe the word of God. Believe in the Lord and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. I'm saying before August ending, no matter who you are, if you believe today, supernaturally you will be debt free. Debt free. Debt free. Debt free. Debt free. Debt free. In the name of Jesus. Learn to engage the word of God for your finances. When was the last time you plead the blood over your finances? When was the last time you plead the blood over your finances? As we go forth into this week, anything that generates income for you, start it this week with the blood. You get to your office, say, I open this office by the blood of Jesus. You get to your business point, I'm starting this business today by the blood of Jesus. You get to your own cubicle in your office. I am sitting here this week by the blood. Because your income and your business is interesting to God. God has a stake in it. He has a stake in it. Haven't you heard people say that somebody came to spend strange money? And from that day, you know, one of the people that I engaged in who was a tenant, I said, Madam, you have not paid me. He said, Pastor, please have mercy. He says, last year somebody came. She's a pharmacist. Said somebody came and spent money, strange money. And from that day, he said, able to have, I don't have paracetamol in that shop. The cheapest, the paracetamol, I don't know what that is. Said, I don't even have, he said, I went to go and borrow money again. See, let me say this, anytime you need money, borrowing is not the first step. Ask yourself the question, why am I poor? You see, most of us don't ask questions. You are too quick to borrow. And they like it. That is why they're advertising. You see that everybody now, there are more borrowing platforms than we ever had in our history. Everywhere you turn, there's this one loan, that one loan, quick this. You see, a debtor is a servant to the borrower. It's a contract of slavery. Never celebrate. If you celebrate debt, you always be in debt. But if you don't celebrate debt, it's your first step to walking away from debt. If you believe that you can be debt free, then you see, even if you are under debt, you see that your whatever you believe happens in your life. Because most people don't believe that they can live a debt free life. You see, they say everybody's borrowing. Not everybody is borrowing. It's a life from the pit of hell. No matter what you do, your money is not your money. Debt is not the gateway to prosperity. It's just like paracetamol. It's just, if you have malaria and you take paracetamol, it will kill the headache, but tomorrow it will start again. Because what is there is not just an ordinary headache. So when you borrow without first understanding or asking yourself that question, why am I poor? Where did all the money go? First understand the principle you have violated. Borrowing cannot solve it. Because you see, no matter how much you put in an empty basket, you will still amount to nothing. Those of you who have been borrowing knows what I'm saying. You have to block the basket. When I begin to teach it from next week Tuesday, and I will advise you, don't miss it. Don't miss it, because there are principles you can engage in to defeat debt in your life. I will teach you how to defeat debt, because see, me, I was a master of debt. I had PhD in debt. When you say debt, I had PhD. You have not. You see, I was owing every birthday. I know what it means to owe and run away from your office. For almost 1 year, I could not sit down for 1 hour in my office because of debt. Different police were chasing me. Somebody came with a gun because I was owing him and I was not picking his call. He came with a live gun to my office. I said, I will kill you before you kill me. Have you owed to that level before? No. I know what I'm saying. He came with a live gun. An elderly man said, before you kill me, I have come to kill you. And I told Baba, if you kill me, who will pay you? He said, I don't care. You have caused me enough hypertension. You want to kill me? Hey. I'm telling you. Banks were looking for me. Your own, maybe you switch off your phone, they don't look for you. This one, I switched off my phone, they brought the letter to me, report at SFU Ikoyi. Special fraud unit, you are a 419. I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about, but it is possible to be debt-free. Take it from me. It is possible. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Engage the word, the blood, for your prosperity. Now, I will show you some picture. Why most Christians are not seeing the blood speak in their prosperity. In the New Old Testament, there are two aspects to the tabernacle. The outer court and the inner court. Even the tabernacle of Moses and the Aaron's tabernacle later on that Jesus inherited Saul in his time always had two sessions. The outer court and the inner court. Now, show me the picture, guys, of the tabernacle. When Moses designed the... Give me another picture of this same time. I want to see the one that showed broader view. No, another one with a broader view. Another one with a broader view. Good. No, this is the one of Solomon. This is Solomon's one. We'll come back to Solomon's one. Show me another one from the other one. I had another one that this person was coming in that showed the perimeter fencing. Be very fast. Thank you. You said the man coming in, God instructed Moses, make a perimeter fencing for the tabernacle of God. So they made a perimeter fencing like this. Now, the man outside is a believer who is now becoming a Christian, who now says, I want to serve Jesus. So you see, the altar of incense is the first thing that greets the man. The altar of incense represents the point of salvation. When you give your life to Christ, when you become born again, when you now have the life of Christ in you, that's the first point. It's called the point of salvation. But you see, most Christians, all their life, they are in that outer courts. They know that they are now born again. They are children of God. But you see, all the relationship they have with God is outer court relationship. They are no longer in the world, but everything about them is not showing the blessings of Christ. They are not rich. They are not celebrating good health. They are not celebrating divine healing. Nothing about them is showing the seven blessings that Jesus purchased. Why? Because they only took the first step of the outer court. So you see, in the outer court, there's a brazen altar, and there's a pot there, which is called the pot of wash. Let's just say the washing basin. So, which is the word of God. So you see, they enjoy their pastor's preaching week in, week out. They are now saved. They are born again. But that is all that there is. If that is your relationship with God, you cannot really enjoy prosperity. That is not the relationship that leads to supernatural prosperity. Give me another picture of the same type from this same angle. I want you to see another angle. That there are two types of places there. Give it to me, please, first, guys. Now, you see very clearly here. Now, so all of us are in the same church. You are born again. You see where the priest standing there beside the basin. That is the one, the preacher in the church. So now that you are saved, you are born again, you are there. So I agree with you, but there is more. There is nothing prosperity around that place. All you have is relationship with God. But you see, in that same compound, there is the inner courts. There is the inner court. The inner court is different from what you have on the outside. Give me another picture of the inner court. Good, look at it. If they zoom it properly, you see everything in this inner court is the first interaction you begin to have with gold. In the outer court, the materials are made with bronze. They were made with bronze. You know the word? There is low quality. But in the inner court, there is nothing called bronze there. Everything is made with gold. In fact, you have the golden pot that the priest ought to take the showbread from. Even that one is made with gold before the bread is put there. It means true prosperity comes as a result of a closer walk with God. Communion with God. Intimacy with God. You see, most of us are praying for prosperity, but we are not developing relationship. The priest knows that, you see, for him, whatever is in the outer court is not for him. He goes into that inner court. In fact, the inner court also has levels. You see two curtains there. The inner court has the first part and the holiest of holies, which is the most secret place. In that place is where the covenant the Ark of Covenant is, the cherubims are. There are different levels of prosperity. The closer you draw to God, the more prosperous you are. If you are not seeing prosperity, check your relationship with God. Check your relationship with God. He's a prosperous God. Give me the one of Moses. Give me the one of Solomon. Even Solomon, several hundreds of years later, when he was still going to do the same tabernacle, watch what Solomon did also. The place for the priest, the inner court, was also plated with gold all around. Gold is actually a product of intimacy with God. True prosperity, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and add no sorrow. Do you know why? Because it is a blessing that is born out of intimacy with God. You see the inner court, all gold. Now, how does this relate with you? The Bible says, you see that priest that is inside? That priest that is inside, when Jesus died, one of the things he did was that he tore down the partition wall. Now, he's saying that instead of once a year, going into that place once a year, number one, Jesus by his blood gives us regular access to the inner courts. That's the first thing. Number two, Jesus then replaced the priests. And do you know the new priest? Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Give me, let's check, let's look at the name of the new priest that is that should have access to the place of gold. Revelation 1 6. Revelation, it said, and hath made us, what did he made us? Kings and what? Priests unto our God. You see, Jesus by his death did not just save us from sin. He changed your status because he redeemed us as slaves. So he now, this slave that he has brought out, he now made the slave to sit on the throne. And now said, now as a slave, you have access to the holiest of holies, the place of true prosperity. You have access to it. You have access to it. Do you know the greatest disservice you can do to yourself is to live and die as a servant of men? Most, what the devil wants for you, you see, most people in your career life, you see, you are a banker, you are an architect, you are an engineer, you are a nurse, you are a doctor, you are a lawyer. Bottom line, you are a servant of men. Bottom line, because you are rendering service for human being. You, whatever you do as a nurse, you are rendering service for human being. That is not why Jesus died for you. There is one step higher than living and dying as a servant of men, which is to become a servant of God. Let your life vision be that you will not die as a servant of men. If you die as a servant of men, you have only lived an ordinary life. He has made everyone a priest. Well, even if you are a driver here, you are a mechanic here, you are a carpenter here, you are a lawyer here, you are an engineer here. See, take that step, one step higher. You need to go one step higher, which is to be called one day a servant of God. That is your greatest honor. That is the greatest thing that can happen to you. And do you know what the Bible says when you serve the Lord? Let me show the prosperity that is produced by it. Follow me to the book of Job as we round up the book of Job. Look at it. This, the prosperity that awaits you when you serve the Lord, says Job 36 verse 11. If they obey and serve him, what did he say will happen to you? They shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. I see the blood answering in your finances. Whatever it is that has held you bound financially, you are breaking out of it. Let me say this. There are debts that only God can deliver us from. That is why from today I will encourage you in this month of July, start serving God. You see, when I was sharing about membership, and I'm still sharing about membership, the bottom line is that it is time to just move away from a servant of men to become what? Servants of God. That is where true prosperity is. And in that holiest of holies, the blood of Christ flows easily to you. It will reach you. It will reach you. When I became the pastor of this place, I was seriously in debt. But in the midst of my indebtedness, he called me. We were at the other side. I wanted to break out of debt by my power. So when there was nothing anymore, in the area I was living, there were no electricity there. So first and foremost, I went to go and use all the money that I left to buy a diesel gen. I came up with a creative idea. Then I now needed money again to buy the freezer. I just sold the freezer last year because I thought that from day one, you see, if I borrowed, you know, there are some good business model you have. Everything on paper is nice. There are some debts. It's not because you are careless. It's because you are not spiritual. Not every good idea is a God idea. Some of us, the reason why we are in debt here today is because we follow wise men, not a wise God. That must change. They gave me a fantastic idea. Having quorum, having this. The freezer I went to go and customize to make from this place, that freezer can reach here. I wanted to produce water and whatever for the whole community. If I put the freezer here, it can occupy virtually all this place. Yet I could not pay. I carry the freezer to the place. I will run diesel gen for 24 hours. One pure water will not block. That was when I know that my problem is spiritual. If you don't sit up, you will die in debt. But today, God is bringing you out. In this second half, be wise. Attack it by the blood. So I thought it was a joke. I went again. Borrowed money from my friend. I used his account to borrow money in a certain... No, normally they go to a particular place to buy things on credit and they will pay. So I said, well, I'll be paying to your account. Let me carry this freezer. So I went to go and carry Tamuku freezer. Again, I told my wife, let's add fish business to it. Then I will go to my 12 to buy pepper and tomatoes. My 12, as a man, you see them. I'll be struggling for Esha in the morning. Me, oh, educated as I am, you don't know Esha. Esha is sport one. If you are in Lagos, you should know Esha. Why are you looking at me as if I'm the only one? You will stop that thing. Who is that person? Who is that person? Who is that? When I say Esha, I say, okay. May we not be shy again in Jesus' name. Every of these efforts, believe you me, took me deeper in debt. One Sunday, they were coming to arrest me during service. They sent me a message. Fake pastor. Useless pastor. We've gotten the address of your church. We are coming to arrest you. I saw the message. That's why I don't come to service now with my message, with my phone. If you call me in the morning, you say, I think it came from that place. Not because I'm in debt. You know, something I just... I realized that it's not good for a pastor to pick a phone before service. I saw the message. Instantly, you know, in computer we call quick format and slow format. Quick format, when you erase the thing, you can recover the data. Slow format is destructive formatting. In other words, I want to format in such a way that I don't want to be able to recover the data. That thing slow formatted all the sermon I prepared. As in, I could not remember. The Holy Spirit is an hilarious spirit. I came to service that day. As I was preaching, I was sweating. People thought that their pastor was anointed. So any small thing, they were saying amen. And I wanted to finish the service before 10. Then I said, let us pray. When I said, let us pray, I just spoke one word and people started falling under the power of the Holy Ghost. People began to fall. Holy Ghost. Why did you decide to show up? The day somebody is coming to arrest me. You know, God is an hilarious spirit. I won't forget that day. I tried to close. In Jesus' name, Then I knew the word the Lord was telling me. Oh boy. Not by power, not by mind. That day, I finished the service later than I could have imagined. But to the glory of God, it did not come. Nobody told me. After that day. They sent me message. We didn't come today because maybe they misread or something. But expect us next Sunday. But you know, all that is history today. It's very, we can laugh about it. Those of you who have gone through such things, you know that they are not funny experience. They are not funny experience. But today, as you engage the blood, in this second half of the year, be deliberate to curse debt by the blood. As we take this communion today and anointing service, I said there are three indomitable forces. I want you to curse even the cousin of debt in your life. Say, the garment of debt, I curse you by the blood. Whatever is taking, devouring my life, I curse you by the blood. In this second half of the year, I curse every leakage in my life by the blood. Because you see, the devil wants to frustrate you through debts. I don't know why I kept talking about debts. I don't know why I kept talking about it. Because it's not in my notes. But I know when God is ministering to somebody, this one, God is actually ministering to a particular person. You will share that testimony before August. Yes. As the Lord liveth, I said, you will share that testimony on this altar before August. Practically, you will share that testimony. Stand to your feet with me. Oh, shatala baraba. Before we go into the communion session, I want to pray for those who want to give their life to Jesus. Remember the diagram I showed you? The first step is to enter that compound by giving your life to Jesus. See, giving your life to Jesus means you are changing ownership. Say, he has redeemed us. If you don't have receipts and you want to take away the goods, they will arrest you. You cannot tell the devil, take your hands off me, when you are still a servant. So, giving your life to Jesus is your declaration of your redemption. I am no longer your slave. So, wherever you are today, it is time for your life to change ownership. It is time to tell Jesus, I want you to be my new owner. I have done it by my own way for so long. Let my life change ownership today. All heads bow and all eyes close. Wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you are watching online also, you want to give your life to Jesus. I want to pray for you. Because today is a day of deliverance. We are going to see the power of God through the blood of Jesus setting people free. I don't want you to live here with the same way you have come. So I don't want to quickly pray for you. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, just lift up your right hand wherever you are. That is your hand of victory. God bless you. I see the hand. It's your hand of victory. Don't let any devil tell you to take down your hands. Today, you are coming under the one who died for you, who loves you. I know you are still thinking, should I? No, I don't have time for that. Let Jesus step in now. Because he is here to help you and set you free. God bless you. I see the hand. God bless you. Now, if you are lifting up your hand, I want to come to me. I want to pray for you very quickly. Come forward. Yes, just come. Jesus is making all things new. God bless you. There is still somebody there. I'm talking to you. Come here now because Jesus wants to save you. Your heart is beating. Should I go? Should I not go? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Take advantage of this moment. Come right now. Jesus wants to save your soul. Whoever you are, the last person, I'm waiting for you. Come. Come, take that bold step of faith. God bless you. Take the bold step of faith and answer the call to give your life to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Place your right hand on your chest. Place your right hand on your chest. I want to pray for you. Say with me, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be born again. Today, Lord Jesus, I repent from my sinful life. And I run to you. Lord Jesus, please save my soul. I believe and I confess that you are the Son of God. You died for my sins. You were buried and you rose from the grave. Today, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Lord and my personal Savior. Wash away all my sins with your precious blood. And please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul this very day. Now say it with me, Satan, I reject your lordship. I am no longer your slave. I have been redeemed today. By the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your children. Those who have prayed this prayer from the depth of their heart, including those who have joined online. Lord Jesus, they've run to you. Say, if any man come to you, you shall not cast away. I thank you because you are making all things new in their lives. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' wonderful name we have prayed. Shout a louder amen. Can you please, sister, hold on, man. I want them to hand you a card, please. Just fill the card on your seat and let me have it because I want to be praying for you. I want to be able to mention your name in prayer. And God bless you. Can we put our hands together for Jesus? Everybody lift your hand and say, Father, I thank you for what you are about to do in my life. Thank you for what you have started. Thank you for what you are doing. And I thank you for what you are going to do.
Go ahead and just bless the Lord. Just bless him right now. Everywhere you are, just bless the Lord from the depth of your heart. Blessed is the hear that I've heard today's word. Blessed is every hear that I've heard the word of God today. Is your season of victory. Is your season of a new beginning. There is power in the blood. Blessed is the Lamb that was slain to redeem us unto himself. He has given us power, riches, blessings, wisdom, glory, honor. Your life shall be glorious from today. Thank him because he brought you here for an encounter with him. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. Sing with me. We give you all the glory. Says obedience is better than sacrifice. You said the cup of blessing that we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is the communion of the body of Christ. So as often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of you. We remember the redemption. Now, because you have redeemed us, anything that is not a blessing is not permitted in our life. So we bring ourselves under your covering afresh, under the seal of the covenant of the blood. Now I bless the bread that we break and the cup of blessing, that as we take this communion, Lord, everywhere, let the redemption benefit that is purchased through the blood manifest speedily in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This communion moment is a moment of supernatural. It's a moment of holy meal. Amen. Today let there be deliverance.
Amen.
I declare there shall be healing.
Amen.
There shall be testimonies.
Amen.
This is the second half of the year. We have entered into the season of victory.
Amen.
Oh, by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father, for what wonderful thing awaits us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now the ministers are going to unveil the communion. What I will say to you is that as they are going to order us to come out for this communion process, you take the communion, you go back to your seats and begin to curse whatever you don't want to see there. Declare a curse over every demonic invasion. Silence the enemy in every area that the devil has been having a free reign. I want to boldly declare that by the blood of the covenant, enough is enough. Enough is what?
Enough.
A woman the other day was in our service. Some of you heard her testimony when she came and said, there is no twins that have survived in their family. In their generation, when they give birth to twins, like a curse, they all die. They all die. She was pregnant, and when they told her she had twins, she began to cry. But she came for one of our communion service, took the meal of blessing. I eat this communion today, my own twins will not die. And she did. The day she was going to give birth, death stepped in. at the general hospital that was close to us here. All of a sudden, all the blood in her body left. So they told her that she needed blood. But she was wise to know that it is not blood, that ordinary blood, that is needed. This is what has been killing the children. So she told them to give them some few minutes. She told the other, go and get me Fanta very quickly. Pastor said we can use any drink. So get me a drink and get me biscuits. And she said, in the name of Jesus, I take this communion. Every blood in my body come alive, be replenished in Jesus' name. Then she called the nurse to come and check again. And this time around, they said that what has happened? There was enough blood for the delivery process to take place. By the grace of God, those twins are still alive today. I think they should be 3 years old now. None of them died. There is power. Just take it with an understanding of spirituality. This is a holy moment. So as they guide us from different roads simultaneously to come, they are going to guide you simultaneously to come. Go back to your seat and be engaged in fervent prayer. Whatever you don't want to see, curse it and claim the blessing. Anything that is called delay dies in this service. I shared the testimony of the boy that was going to carry over extra year, and I was ministering. Said that he said he had carry over, and I said I prophesied in that service, and he believed. Said, no, you are going back. Whatever needs to change, will change. Because all power belongs to God. The next morning, when she got back to Olabisi Olubanjo George University, said they withdrew the earlier result and pasted a new one. This time around, no carryover for him. I also now declare in this service, anything that you want to change, as you engage this covenant meal, the power of God is bringing that change to bear. Let your amen catch fire.
Amen.
Are you ready right now?
Yes.
So you take it, go back, and engage in fervent prayer. Then we'll pray together. We give you all the glory. We
you are
Listen. On this side, when I was praying, on this left hand side, I know that what I'm about to say may look generic, but there is somebody here on this left hand side particularly. You are in a situation that if God does not help you, there is no way you can come out of it. I just hear the word stranded. It's like it has encircled you and you need help. If you are the one, stand to your feet. I want to pray for you on this left hand side. On this left hand side. I don't know who you are. I see the Lord lifting you out of that circle. There's a hand that is bringing you out of that circle. And I see that by the hand of the Lord, you have been removed from that thing that has surrounded you. Your life has revolved in circle for so long. But now I send the word of the Lord to you. You have come out of that circle. Break out of that circle. Break out of that circle. Break out of that circle. By the blood of Jesus. Break out in the name of Jesus. Anyone in this situation that is called stranded. 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 You are now in a season where you are stranded. You are stranded. You don't know what to do. Hear the word of the Lord today. By the mighty hand of God, your season of help has come. Your season of help has come.
Amen.
Your season of help has come.
Amen.
The help from the Holy Hill is your portion. Receive the help of God today.
Amen.
Receive the help of God today.
Amen.
Receive the help of God today.
Amen.
By this communion, you are breaking out of every evil circle.
Amen.
You are entering into a new season of glory.
Amen.
A season of glory.
Amen.
You shall no longer be called stagnant. You shall no longer be called stagnant.
Amen.
It's a season of glory.
Amen.
Break out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now lift up the communion. The cup of blessing that we bless is in the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Lift up your bread. Lord, we sanctify this bread as the flesh of Jesus. For you have chosen to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. We believe in the wisdom of the communion. And I prophesy, whatever you have cursed today, as you eat this flesh of Jesus, everything you have cursed shall be no more in your life. Whatever you have cursed, remain cursed in the name of Jesus. Anything that is a troubler of your life, that which is giving you restlessness and has caused it a season of no peace, every affliction in your body, everything called affliction or in your health, I declare by the blood of Jesus, they are cursed today. As you eat this flesh, every negative mark in your body is erased. Every hand oppressing you dies in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever wants to make you live in pain perpetually, live in sorrow, live in regret, as you eat this flesh, you are delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now I declare over your life, from today you shall know peace.
Amen.
Over every troubling situation, you shall know peace. In the name of Jesus. Anyone in debt eating this flesh today, he became poor so that you through his poverty can become rich. Before August ended, you shall be debt free. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Eat the flesh with testimony gladness. Now lift up your cup of blessing. He who God has blessed is blessed indeed. We sanctify this drink as the blood of Christ, and I declare that by the blood of Jesus, may you be overtaken by the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever is not
a symbol or a representation of blessing in your life, I curse it by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare your total freedom from sickness,
amen,
from debt,
amen,
from unemployment,
amen,
from late marriage,
amen,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every womb that has not known the joy of carrying baby before, as you eat and drink of this blood, is your season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I curse barrenness in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whoever is called menstrual irregularities, menstrual issues, gynecological issues, hormonal imbalance, as you drink this blood, there shall be total balancing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every health issue is solved in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Now drink all of it and thereafter give thanks to God. Tim, can I have the anointing oil passed around now? Shalavo Satama. Demons tremble at your presence. Barabai. And collect the cross before the anointing.
They must tremble at your presence. What a mighty God who sent. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Oh, everything
written about you.
Now, can we quickly dip your hand into the anointing oil, then place it on your head, then I will read Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 and I will tell you what. So can we quickly, if you have your own oil, you can open your oil. If you don't have the oil, let them just share the oil for you very quickly. Let them share the oil with you very quickly. Let's be fast about it. Okay, now Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Zechariah, this is the second indomitable force I am deploying, because it's sending you forth into the second half of this year. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto you. You are now the Zerubbabel now. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and it shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace, grace. Grace is the enablement of God, is the empowerment of God. Now I want to begin to say, in the name of Jesus,
by this anointing,
I receive an impartation of grace.
Every mountain before me,
you are becoming plain. I cry grace.
Grace.
Second half of the year shall be full of supernatural results for me.
By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this second half of 2023, I shall experience supernatural results.
Go ahead and make that declaration. By the anointing, cry grace.
In the name of Jesus. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Grace. Not by power. Not by might.
Every anointing before me shall be complete in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ekayabado sereke de deva. Imara baba ba. Era baba ba. Era baba ba. Era baba ba. Ekapado sereke de deya. Ikayabada bada. Ekayabada ba. In the name of Jesus, I parabada ba. I declare and I declare by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I shall grace, 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 grace. In the name of Jesus, grace is working for me. In the name of Jesus, in this second half of the year, I parabada roska. And great grace in the name of Jesus. Every another, every mountain before me shall be complete in the name of Jesus. Every anointing before me, in my family, in my finances, in my ministry shall become slain in the name of Jesus. Every anointing before my family, before my finances, before my ministry shall become slain in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now I'm now deploying the third indomitable force, which is the word of God. Say, can this bone live again? He said, no, you know. Say, prophesy. I want you to prophesy with your oil on your head into the second half of the year. Release some prophetic words into your marriage, into your life, whatever you want to see. Say, I prophesy into the second half of 2023. Now begin to declare what you want to see. Begin to declare what you want to see. Begin to declare what you want to see in this second half of the year. Begin to declare what you want to see. Declare what you want to see. Make a declaration over your life. Make a declaration. What do you want to see? Prophesy.
In the second half of the year,
recovery, healing, deliverance,
in the name of Jesus,
growth, breaking forth
everything I've lost.
Prophesy by the word.
Prophesy recovery.
Prophesy by the word.
I've lost no healing or no healing. I
prophesy it into your life.
Recovery in the name of Jesus. I prophesy. I speak to the winds in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
By the blood of the Most, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I prophesy blessing. I prophesy grace. I prophesy blessing into the second half of the year in the name of Jesus. I prophesy divine help in the name of Jesus. I prophesy divine help in the name of Jesus. I prophesied divine help in the name of Jesus. I prophesied good news in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Now I declare over you, it is written that when Samuel anointed David, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Oh, yes.
By this anointing, may the Spirit of the Lord rest upon you afresh.
Amen.
By this anointing, may you be filled afresh with the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Before the anointing, Jesus was a carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
He had no supernatural results.
Yes.
But it is written that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, then the Bible says he went about doing good. By this anointing, I declare over your life, you have entered into a season of doing good.
Amen.
I said you have entered into a season of doing exceptionally well.
Amen.
In this second half of 2023, you will do well.
Amen.
You will do exceptionally well.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever defeated you in the first half, you shall see it no more. You have entered into the ring. Now go and be victorious.
Amen.
Now I declare grace. I declare grace.
Amen.
I declare grace.
Amen.
I declare grace.
Amen.
I declare grace.
Amen.
That by the grace of the Lord, in the second half of the year, you shall be victorious.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank
Thank you, Lord,
for testimonies. You, lift your voice and thank God because thank it is Lord. Done. Thank him if you believe.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank him if you believe.
Oh, thank you, Lord, because it is done. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise, O Lord. I give you praise, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise, O Lord. I give you praise, O Lord. Thank you because it is done. Thank you because it is done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Lastly, before you are seated, I told you all that in the second half of the year, one of the things you must do is to raise an altar of sacrifice. Why is it important? Because sacrifice attracts glory. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 to 2 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. I want to encourage you as I pray on over your sacrifices right now. Learn to raise an altar of sacrifice. This is the second half of the year. If it means giving your whole income, your whole salary, it's not, unless you don't believe in the law of sowing and reaping. There is no farmer that complains that he's sowing too much seed, because he believes that for every seed, there's an harvest. Whatever represents sacrifice to you, raise it before the Lord. Some of you, we might hear it for the first time. That's why I'm praying a generic prayer. I don't want to segment anybody, because it is a matter between you and God. It's a matter between you and God. He sent me as a messenger that in this second half, he's going to bless the people. And I know that one of the principles that attract financial prosperity is raising the altar of sacrifice. Giving that costs you something. Giving that even pinches or pains you. Because sacrifice always attracts glory. Now lift your sacrifices up. Even if you have, if you don't have, you are giving later, it doesn't matter. I want to pray over you. Father, you said, gather unto me my children that have made a covenant unto me by sacrifice. I raise every altar of sacrifice that we are lifting up before you in this second half of the year. By this sacrifice, every activity of devourer is hereby blocked in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone who has been doing business with baskets, fetching water with baskets, everyone who has suffered from pockets with holes, by the blood of the Lamb, my Father, let this sacrifice block every hole and every basket in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I pray over every sacrifice. Let them be consumed by your glory.
Amen.
Let these ones now enter into a season of glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This second half of the year shall be filled with glorious results for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now I speak over your finances.
Yes.
Your basket is blessed.
Amen.
Your income is blessed.
Amen.
Your source of income is blessed.
Amen.
You will no longer sweat in vain.
Amen.
You will not sweat in vain.
Amen.
You will not sweat in vain.
Amen.
Every affliction that has been taking money away from you ends now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, because some who today have not seen 1 million before in their account, before December shall testify of their first million in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You make it rich and add no sorrow.
Yes.
So every sorrow is uprooted from your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, receive the sacrifices.
I receive it.
And bless your people.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Shout a louder amen.
Amen.
Now you can drop your sacrifices. Then we shall proceed to take our offerings and our tithe. You can drop your sacrifices. Some of you may be asking, I've given everything. What do I have to give as tithe again? That is it. You've given it. Hallelujah. God bless you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, I want us to bring up our offering and our tithe as we honor the Lord. And in this second half of the year, I want to pray over every tither in this house. You see that there is emphasis over finances because God is raising new millionaires this season. You will see new wave of prosperity is going to flow into your hand. As you develop intimacy with the Lord, His blessing will overflow to you. So even if you're online, it doesn't matter. You give your tithe later or you've given it, it doesn't matter. As long as you're a tither, I want to pray for you. So if you're giving your tithe today too, you can join them. I want to pray over your tithe and receive it as a priest of the Lord and declare His blessing. Because in this second half, unusual blessings shall flow. And I want to encourage those of you, tithing is a Christian obligation. It's a covenant practice. Tithers are always blessed. Because if not for anything, it takes faith to be accountable to God. When you are tithing, what you mean is that you maintain an account unto God. Because you know separating minimum of 10% means you are accountable. So that means you have an heavenly account. It's tithing sanctions, it approves the principle of accountability. That is what it does. So as you engage faithfully in your tithing, even if you have not been there, you make a declaration you had that in this second half, I'm going to demonstrate faithfulness in my tithing. So bring your tithe into the house.